Missouri's major metropolitan areas have been growing for several generations. But for every winner, there has to be a loser, and Missouri has its share of towns that have been losing population for nearly a century. I'm Trevor Harris, and on this week's Thinking Out Loud, I visit with three people who see tourism as a vehicle to boost rural economies. A small town mayor who's preparing for a major influx of bicyclists next week. And a new extension specialist who helps communities plan for tourism. And an event organizer who's leading the charge for next week's inaugural Bike Across Missouri. That and the next installment of Farm Your Yard are up next on this week's Thinking Out Loud. Good evening and welcome to Thinking Out Loud. My first guest this week is Mike Dennehy. He's with Off Track Events. They're the folks who brought you the Peddler's Jamboree. Next week, they're launching the inaugural Bike Across Missouri. It's a ride that will take over 1,000 bicyclists from the northwest corner of the state to the northeast corner over 5 days and 300 miles.
And I grew up doing Rag Bri, which is the Register's great annual bike ride across Iowa, the Des Moines Register. And I've lost track of how many years it's been around. It's in the 40s now. So it's the grandfather event in the nation, where it's become the biggest bicycle tour in the world, I believe, with, 10 to 15,000 riders every day. I've done more Rag Bris than I can remember. And coming down here to Missouri, I moved to Columbia about 12 years ago. And, the cycling scene has come a long way in 12 years, I can tell you that. And I think it's finally to a point now where the state can embrace bicycle tourism and really do something great. There's a lot of beautiful scenery, a lot of great towns. There's just a lot to offer in Missouri as far as a bicycle tour across the state. And I think now is a good time to do it. The towns in Missouri are starting to realize that, bicycle rides are a good boost to their economy. And if they can support it and bring people from other cities and other states, it's a good way to, first off, get exposure for them, and second off, to, bring a little tourism to their town.
As you've been reaching out to communities, what has the response been like?
It's been great. This is the first time that we've ever really done anything of this nature. And, to reach out to some of these towns, I was a little nervous at first because, I'm going to some towns that, might have 200 or 300 people. And then we approach them and say, hey, we want to throw a party in your town with, maybe 1,000 people or 1,500 people. And it's going to take place over, 2 or 3 hours, and then they'll be gone. And, that can be a little overwhelming to some people. But these towns have really got behind it. They've gotten excited. They're coming all out. They're going to be selling food, welcoming riders, just doing everything they can to make it a good time for everybody.
What is the route of the Bike Across Missouri?
Well, this is going to be the first time ever we're doing this ride. So we're going to be starting on the northwest corner in Rockport, and we'll be riding pretty much, on the, pretty close to the border of Iowa across the state. And it's going to end in Canton on the northeast side. And there's going to be, 5 days of riding, 300 miles to cover, and we're going to go through these following overnight towns of Maryville, Albany, Unionville, Kirksville, and we'll end in Canton for the final day.
So the overnight towns are a little bit bigger places that might have the capacity and the space to host up to 1,500 riders.
Exactly. There's hospitalities, there's hotel rooms, there's restaurants. Some places have more than others. We got some small overnight towns. I guess the biggest overnight town we might be going through could be Maryville and Kirksville. But relatively, they're pretty small-sized towns in the grand scheme of things.
So as you and your collaborators with Missouri Life have gone out and have been talking to locals in Albany and Maryville and in Unionville, you're making contacts with city council people, local boosters. There's a whole lot of people out there across North Missouri who know nothing of this. They're going to be surprised. How do you prepare a rural North Missouri resident for 1,500 bicyclists on their road into town?
Well, one of the reasons why we chose to go the northern route first is it's the proximity to Iowa, and the fact that, you know, Rag-Rye has been through Iowa. It's been through the southern part of Iowa, which really is probably no more than an hour or two north of these towns. So chances are a lot of these towns have heard of Rag-Rye through the years. They've kind of, you know, heard stories. Maybe they have friends who have been there, or maybe they've even seen it themselves. So for them, it's a little easier to understand the scope, the vision, than maybe southern Missouri, who doesn't have that exposure. So some of these communities have already heard about it, and other ones, you know, they're just excited for, you know, an exciting day or, you know, a big party to come through. It's some of these places, this is the biggest event they've seen in a long time, or maybe ever. You're going to expect a beautiful ride. There's a lot of, you know, great terrain up there.
That was Mike Dennehy from Off Track Events talking about the Bike Across Missouri. Numerous Missouri communities are preparing for the 1,000-plus Bike Across Missouri or BAM riders. One of those communities is Novinger. Located about 10 miles west of Kirksville, this small Missouri community is representative of many towns in the rural northern counties of our Show Me State, communities that have been steadily losing population since my and maybe your grandfathers were in grade school. To continue to be vital again, places like Novinger are embracing the Big BAM Ride and other events that bring tourists into their towns. These tourists spend money at local retail establishments. Here's four-term Novinger Mayor Jeff Dodson.
I was elected in April of 2009. In fact, I was elected 3 weeks and 4 days before Novinger was hit with its first tornado. In days gone by, there have been events such as Coal Miners' Days and the Labor Day celebration that the community has put on. Currently, we're back down to just having a Labor Day celebration. It brings a lot of people into the community. In the fall, in the hunting seasons, we see a good number of people that come into our community, support our businesses, our restaurants. Different businesses benefit from that. And so as a whole, year-round, we look for opportunities to invite people into the community so that it benefits the business community and the citizens alike. Throughout the year, we have the hunting community that comes in, and there's a lot of absentee owners in the Menominee area that own hunting properties, so they frequent our restaurants quite a bit. But by and large, like every other community in our area, deer season far and away is the biggest influx of folks that are coming in. So that 10-day period of time is really important to us in our community.
What are you expecting when the Bike Across Missouri riders roll through Novinger?
Well, we're really excited because we've alerted our local businesses, the restaurants and different places in town, in the downtown area, that we're going to have a large number of folks that are going to be in our community from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. is kind of the window that we're looking at on Thursday. And we think that it will be really good for our local businesses. Some of our local civic organizations will benefit from that as well through the sale of food and drinks. And we're encouraging the riders to frequent the local restaurants and places of refreshment, along with the convenience store, as well as there will be food served at the Novinger Renewal Community Building by the group Novinger Renewal. The local museum, Coal Miners Museum, will be open, as well as the cabin in the park will be open as well for people to view. In addition to that, there will also be a professional vendor that will be selling barbecue on the grounds. There's going to be a beer tent that is going to be set up adjacent to the Big BAM event as they coordinate that part of the event. And also there'll be one more group that will be set up. We'll be selling some small barbecue items for After Prom, which is a really worthy group within our community for this year's After Prom committee.
Next Thursday, after the last rider pedals off into the distance toward Kirksville, what do you see as the role of tourism in Novinger's economy?
I honestly believe that it's on the increase, and to talk about a couple of things, there is a new influx of folks that are interested in jumping in and helping out with projects in the future. So for sure, we would like to have a Labor Day celebration where folks are invited back into the community and just look for some new and refreshing ideas to draw people in. Certainly in the future, and we don't have any control of this, the development of the East Locust Creek Reservoir west of Novinger is a 2,400-acre water reservoir that is on the planning table most of the property has been purchased. We are looking forward to the traffic that will naturally be increasing between the city of Kirksville and the Milan community as people use that lake.
This is Thinking Out Loud on KBIA. I'm Trevor Harris, and this week we're looking at the role of tourism in small-town economies. You just heard from Jeff Dotson, a resident of the city of Novinger in Adair County. He's been the town's mayor since 2009. Dotson and others in town are preparing for an influx of over 1,000 bicyclists who will pedal their way through the town a week from Thursday on the first ever Bike Across Missouri, or Big Bam Ride. While Novinger is representative of small Missouri towns with a shrinking population and declining tax base, the town is somewhat unique in that its leaders are planning for future economic development. Tourism, such as the Big Bam Ride, plays a role in that strategy. Pat Curry works with MU Extension and teams up with towns across the state to develop local leaders and create community and economic development plans. I asked the Sedalia native and longtime community developer what it takes for small towns to encourage tourists and the dollars they leave in town.
Our principal work is doing economic development in rural Missouri. And that involves an educational component where we go to rural communities, work with organizations to try to provide them some of the tools they need to be better at what they do, mostly focusing on economic development organizations. We do a lot of applied research, so we are engaged in things like economic impact assessments, creating ways that people and leaders in their communities can kind of understand what their economy is about and how they can, you know, preserve it or improve it. And finally, we're always out there trying to write grants to help communities and organizations and businesses get new resources they can use to be more competitive in an international economy.
Many rural places across Missouri, and especially in our northern counties, have seen their population base drop out over the last 8 years. That's because of a myriad of reasons. As these communities get back on their feet or stay on their feet and try to find sort of a new focus, what do you see as the potential for tourism to be a piece of that economic development puzzle?
That's a great question, because what you just described is the unfortunate circumstance that a lot of rural places find themselves in today, where traditionally, those manufacturing businesses that may have been a backbone of the local economy have, especially in rural places, migrated overseas, or they've downsized because they automate. So they've disappeared from the landscape in many places. Farming takes less labor than it ever did before, so the job situation is pretty tough in a lot of places. And one of the most important ways to kind of think about this is economic diversification. And tourism is a simple way, in fact, in many places, for a community to diversify their economic base. Because one of the real challenges in a lot of small towns in particular is trying to hold on to some of the retail establishments that serve the local population first. But as the consumer, pool gets smaller, when those places lose jobs, people migrate away, tourism can often close that gap. But I think one of the other great things about tourism in rural places is it really makes local leaders and even citizens and residents sort of take a step back, look at their town in a whole new way. Because when you're trying to attract those tourists, what's the most important thing? You have to be very image conscious. I mean, the way you look matters a lot. And those special little things that you have in your town that may not seem so special to you are often very appealing to somebody else.
When we think about tourism, we can think about a fixed amenity like a lake with campsites and docks, or we can think about hunting properties. These are things that are there all year round and can be enjoyed in season, or even out of season by if you're hardy enough. An event like the Bike Across Missouri is a one-time infusion of tourists. A community can't necessarily hang its hat on the sales tax dollars that they're going to net from a one-time event. For instance, the Bike Across Missouri is going to be in Novinger, Missouri for 3 hours. If a community prepares for an event like that, they can obviously generate some revenue. But we talked a little bit earlier about the importance of planning. Can you get into that a little bit more and talk about the process by which a community would plan for tourists to come and enjoy their place, mm-hmm. and being image conscious.
Yeah. Bike rides, which have become extraordinarily popular, you know, these sorts of multi-day events that, you know, usually traverse a rural landscape in nearly every state now, I think, in the Midwest, are wonderful events. And I think rural places that can get on the agenda for those are really going to benefit in a lot of ways. And some of them aren't going to be really obvious. You know, obviously, the one that everybody would love to see is people come, they stay, they spend some money. That creates the most impact when some dollars are somehow leaving the tourist pockets and going into the pockets of the store owners and others, because that's the kind of impact we think about. However, one of the other things that happens is that, you know, if I'm on one of these bike rides, I come through your town and I get this extraordinary hospitality, and I see that, you know, that you guys are out there trying to make this go, where am I gonna come back when I want to do some sort of a rural experience? You know, that's where I'm gonna go. And so this is a great opportunity for rural communities to kind of roll out that red carpet and show folks, you know, that are visitors, that they've got everything that most people are looking for in a tourist experience sometimes, which is that real human engagement. It's very difficult, you know, with these one-shot events for communities to, you know, get that economic impact that you'd like to have. But they surely can achieve that goal of giving that best first impression. And that's, I think, the way to think about this is you just want to make a wonderful impression on every visitor, because that kind of word of mouth starts to spread, and that's the best kind of publicity and public relations you can obviously get. Planning for tourism is something that most small towns don't do, but it wouldn't hurt them a bit. And tourism planning, at least at that level, is something that's pretty easy to do, because a lot of it is hospitality training. They're not going to go out and build, in most settings, you know, that new event that's going to attract lots and lots of people. But what they can do is impress on every visitor that this is a friendly place and we'd love to have you back.
That was Pat Curry from MU Extension talking about how small communities can anticipate and embrace tourism as part of their future economies. A major infusion of tourism dollars happens next week when Off-Track Events brings the Bike Across Missouri to North Missouri. Here's Big Bam co-organizer Mike Dennehy talking about what riders and community members can expect along the Big Bam route.
Yeah, we're actually going to have music on every stop along the way as well. So every town you go through, there's going to be a great live band. We got some great headliners. Some of my favorites from Peddler's Jamboree Past are coming back, and we have some new ones as well. I'm really excited about Split Lip Rayfield playing in Unionville. You have Shell, a Jamboree favorite, that's going to be playing in Kirksville. We have classic rock Brewer and Shipley from the famous One Toke Over the Line album. They're going to play in Albany. And one of my all-time favorite bands, Ha Ha Tonka, is playing in Maryville. We have Tyrannosaurus Chicken in Rockport, and Aaron Cam and the One Drops playing in Canton. So those are our headliners, and we have, you know, a couple dozen great bands kind of sandwiched in between as well.
Many KBI listeners are aware of the Peddler's Jamboree. Many have participated in the Peddler's Jamboree in years past. How is the Big Bam different, besides being 5 days instead of one or two?
The Peddler's Jamboree, it's great because it's, you know, it's a short, simple ride on the Katy Trail. It's 30 miles out and 30 miles back, and you just kind of, you can find your way from Columbia to Boonville. Whereas the Big Bam, it's more of an epic journey. I'm not saying that anyone can't do it, but it definitely takes more planning, more training, and I mean, it's a challenge. It's a challenge that people can do, but it's a challenge that will really, you know, give people a reward and experience at the end of the day. Where there's 300 miles over 5 days, there's days that are 40 miles, there's days that are 80 miles. There's great music in between, but you also have to remember to keep pedaling, because you have a few more miles to go.
And what's the total distance of the ride?
It's 300, give or take a few miles.
Over 5 days.
Over 5 days, yep.
So what kind of preparedness, if someone's hearing this and they're thinking, maybe I want to do that, maybe, what kind of training should someone have in their recent history to be able to up and attempt this ride?
Well, I think the more time you can spend on your bike, the better. It's a good excuse to ride more when you have a ride like this. Sometimes people, you know, they're ready to go. They just do a lot of bike commuting, and that's their training, or sometimes they go for longer rides. But I think the more time you have in your saddle, I think through my experience on bicycle tours in the past, the thing that hurts the most is your butt. When you ride all day long, your legs hurt and you're tired and you're exhausted. But if you don't spend a lot of time sitting on that bike seat, it's going to be a little sore the first couple days.
So what is the essential must-have packing list besides you and your bike?
Those are the most important things. Definitely recommend a helmet and sunscreen and some cash and, you know, a couple changes of clothes. And after that, it's all about the creature comforts. We'll be hauling your stuff for you, so you don't have to worry about hauling stuff. There's a shower truck available. We're going to be working with a handful of great breweries, so there's going to be great beer, Missouri beer, all the way along the route. I mean, if you're ready to ride your bike, we'll take care of the rest.
That was Mike Dennehy talking about next week's Big Bam Ride. For riders, the five-day event will feature rolling hills, live music, and lots of time in the bike saddle. For small towns like Novinger, the ride means a chance to introduce tourists to their community and make some money in the process. Our thanks to Mike Dennehy and to our other guests, MU Extension's Pat Curry and Novinger Mayor Jeff Dotson.